4522. Gold Capital, South Africa's trusted gold brokers since 1992.
This is the Classic Business Law Feature.
I think the big question among businesses right now is, what does life after lockdown look like, or indeed life under level 3 or level 2 or level 1? What does it mean to return to a world where things like masks and screening and germophobia around the water cooler are the new reality? And there is a very real risk that government swivels to a sort of health and safety bureaucracy of inspections and certifications and business closures and just making places of work thoroughly difficult to navigate and unproductive. Well, Sean Jamieson, Senior Associate in the Employment Practice at Cliffdecker Hofmeyer, is on the line to talk about how you should ensure you are at least on the right side of the law for the next few weeks of level three as we know them. Sean, welcome. Government has introduced various regulatory measures. There really is a labyrinthine maze of all of these things, many of which have very important implications for employers. And in combination, these measures present a minefield of confusing requirements. So where's a good place to start here? What administrative measures should an employer establish before opening?
Good evening, and thank you very much for having me on the show. It's greatly appreciated, and I think you've captured it absolutely perfectly. There is an absolute minefield of directives and guidelines and regulations being published, especially from a health and safety perspective, which is leading to all sorts of interpretational inconsistencies and the like. The bottom line is that employers face a lot of obligations from a legal perspective. And when you are looking at where to start from a health and safety perspective, one would need to consider the department's directive on occupational health and safety. They just issued one in the last couple of days. I think it was the 4th of June, which is an updated guideline, which sets out the various obligations of employers. And obviously, the lockdown regulations also stand as the basis that must be complied with. So those are your two key documents when you're looking at the health and safety issue relating to COVID in the workplace.
Are there different measures based on the size of the business, or are small employers expected to comply with the same amount of red tape as a large entity?
There are some very, very minor obligations that only pertain to employers, for example, who employ about 500 employees. There you've got to do the specific risk assessments, etc. But bottom line is the directives and the regulations, or at least 95% of them, they apply to employers large, medium or small. And all employers can be held to task if the inspectors decide to monitor compliance.
Now, what happens? Let's go into some scenarios here. What happens if your employee has to go and do work at a residential address? For example, you run a team of plumbers, and one of your plumbers has to go and work at a residential address. How is that addressed in the regulations?
Well, if you have to look at the regulations really stem back to, are you creating a reasonable working environment that complies with the Occupational Health and Safety Act. So provided that, you know, in your example, the team of plumbers, providing that employer is providing the proper PPE, the proper sanitization kits to its employees, it should be able to largely comply with the directive and the regulations. Obviously then, once the employees are placed on a specific site, that's largely out of the employer's control. But one must remember that employees themselves also have obligations in terms of occupational health and safety legislation. So really, the employer would just need to comply as far as it reasonably and practically can and issue the necessary health and safety kits, training, sanitization goods, and make sure that it trains its employees properly so that when they are placed on a residential site, for example, they have the tools to make sure they are keeping health and safety and not placing members of the public as well in danger.
Can an employee refuse to return to work in an environment where they feel particularly potentially threatened or unsafe?
Well, in terms of the most recent directive that's been issued, as I mentioned a few days ago, it caters specifically for that, and that's one of the clauses which I think will be open to interpretational scrutiny. It's clause 48 of the recent directive, which says if an employee or a group of employees identifies a serious and imminent risk, that employee may refuse to tender their services. And there's a whole bunch of follow-on provisions which state that they cannot be disciplined or prejudiced, to put it bluntly, as a result of exercising that right. So the answer is yes. The answer is if an employee can identify a reasonable, an imminent and serious risk pertaining to COVID-19 in the workplace, that employee may legally withhold his or her labour.
It's very interesting. So on the employer side, I'm sure an employer would want to ensure that no one abuses this. So they would want to ensure that they've demonstrated as far as possible that they put everything in place to ensure that employees feel that they are safe at work. What are the primary measures that need to be in place to satisfy that test of confidence to feel safe to return to a workplace environment?
Yeah, so the stuff that's been, the obligations that have been in place for some time remain. The requirements to screen employees and in general to, you know, to ensure social distancing, to sanitize your workplace, et cetera, et cetera. Those obligations remain in place. There's also obligations where the employer must bring the content of the directive to the employee's attention, so it must be placed on your notice boards, et cetera, et cetera. So those obligations that have largely been in place remain, and the employer would is subject to inspection by the inspectors, and they must make sure they have all their risk assessments done and in place, that they've properly sanitized, there's proper social distancing measures in place, proper PPE has been issued, and we've seen it where employers have not complied, they face fines or having their operations closed temporarily.
And that is important to note here. The sanctions are quite severe. What kind of approach is government going to be taking to this? Is it a kind of three strikes and you're out, you know, a few warnings firstly? How will that be sanctioned firstly? And what kind of monitoring capability does government have to ensure that employers are actually implementing these things in the workplace? Sean? Oh, I'm afraid we've lost Sean Jamison there. It wasn't the best line, senior associate in the employment practice at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer. We're going to have to address that tomorrow.
Do you have